So when a federally licensed gun dealer goes into the databases, they will find out if someone has, if they're wanted, if there's an indictment, if there is a criminal record where there's disqualifying information, you know, be it they've committed, some felony or crime of domestic violence or whatever the case is, whatever the disqualifier is. Right. While technically true, it's a disservice when those who spew out statistics or analysis says, you know, there are states who are totally non-compliant with the NICS system. And everybody thinks, oh, my goodness, the federally licensed firearms dealer has no information. They don't know that someone's been wanted or committed a crime or has some other disqualifying information. That is factually inaccurate.
Right, because there are these three databases.
Because there are three databases, exactly. Which a lot of people don't understand.
Right.
And frankly, I wouldn't expect them to.
Sure.
The one lapse in that system is you have the mental health issues.
Right, so NICS, that's the third database.
And that's where you would put someone who would have a mental health disqualifier.
Right.
We have two problems in Rhode Island with that. One is the HIPAA laws nationally, which you can get around because other states are doing this. The other one is Rhode Island has some of the more strict privacy right statutes regarding mental health,
mm-hmm.
which is a stumbling block. And by the way, even if we could get that data into the NICS system, that really wouldn't be the job of the Attorney General's office. That
of course,
would,
yeah.
You know, because these are court proceedings usually mm-hmm. where someone is adjudicated, maybe over in the district court, that they are deemed mentally incompetent for whatever the reason
right.
or whatever the issue is. And they can't even tell us who it is. So the burden really, unless we find another way, would fall on the courts
mm-hmm.
to put this into the database.
A representative of the court system told me no one's told us that they want these records.
And right now they're statutorily barred regardless.
So there seems to be some confusion over who has the responsibility, who has the authority to say Rhode Island is going to contribute records to NICS. Here's who's going to make it happen. Who is that person?
Who has the authority to say that is the General Assembly. And we are working, we've had, I can't even tell you how many meetings with folks from the governor's office, from the Senate, from the House, our office, who are working together to address the gun issue as a whole.
So there's a concerted effort, you would say?
One of the more concerted efforts I've seen on any piece of legislation.
Would you give it a name? Like, would you call it a working group?
It's looser than that. It's really the assignment of staff people to get together, evaluate the statutes, see what's coming up. It's not, you know, it's not a task force, so to speak,
sure.
or anything like that. It's really just staff level trying to work together.
Yeah.
So I think what may happen coming forward is I don't know if we will have all of those answers in time to end the legislative session because we do need to take into account the health community, their concerns, the actual privacy rights that these folks should be afforded. But at the same time, make sure that we do our best to keep weapons out of these folks' hands or limit or cease the access they have to it.
Rhode Island currently contributes zero records to NICS, just that one database. Understood that we do contribute records to the other two databases that are involved in a gun background check. But to this particular database, we contribute zero records. Is that your understanding
yes,
as well?
Yes, it is. But again, most of what people look for in the federal firearms statute is provided through the other two databases.
Sure.
And what we are working on now with the state police and again, other agencies is the state, for whatever the reason is, has not had a NICS contact person in the state. That's being remedied.
It is. How?
Yes. Well, again, working with all the other agencies, working with the federal government on this. Believe me when I tell you, this has taken up since Newtown. And legitimately taken up a great deal of time in our office. And if there are problems with the system, we're going to fix the system. So rather than duplicate the effort, knowing full well that all of this is accessible, and that's why I say there was a fear, I think, that was instilled in Rhode Islanders that, oh, no, Rhode Island's zero compliant. This information isn't out there. No, probably 90% of it is there. It is accessible. that this system is actually three systems working in conjunction. And so some of it is duplicative. And those pieces of it that aren't duplicative that can go in the NICS system, which catches what the other two systems don't catch, that's where we're going to put our focus. That's where we're going to ensure that all of this information is available so that we can do our best to make sure Rhode Islanders are kept safe and that people who shouldn't have guns don't get the guns.
Understood. You mentioned that since Newtown, there's been a big concerted effort, bigger than you've ever seen, amongst lawmakers and policymakers and other state agency representatives to tackle gun issues in general in Rhode Island. Can you give our listeners a sense, like a concrete sense of where those discussions will take us? What other evidence can you give us that progress will be made to make the state
safer? We have
safer?
Made significant progress already. With the meetings we've had. There are proposals out there that we are trying to really nail down the language on.
Mm-hmm. And it's complicated.
And it's extremely complicated. And if there's one thing I've ever learned regarding legislation or almost any other topic, the last thing we want to do is go in with a proposal that has the unintended consequences. If we're going to do it, we should do it right and right the first time. And that's why I say the mental health part of that might have to be part of a larger discussion because there are so many different entities involved, from the mental health advocates, from Buddha, probate courts, the court system itself, prosecutors. You know, there are just so many pieces to that issue that you really need to gather the information and the fact-finding to make an informed decision as to where to go, especially legislatively, where the policy will be set. These policies will be set at the legislative level and either signed or vetoed by the governor. So I think that the fact that all of the entities I mentioned earlier, the two branches of government working together on these and at some point bring in the judiciary on the healthcare part of it is good, because hopefully we get it right in the beginning.
Two hot-button issues I got to ask you about, and those are semi-automatic weapons and high-capacity magazines. Do you have a personal position?
I have said from day one I support the ban on these assault weapons. That is actually one of the concrete proposals you'll probably see come out of this working, these folks who are working together, the staff who are talking on this. I support the federal ban on it. I think it should be done at the federal level especially. I have actually reached out to other states, and I have, through my relationships with other attorneys general, they have given me some of their proposals that are not yet in official legislative form that hopefully we can work off of, too. It's there. It's a real issue. On top of everything else we do, it's something, though, that we think is extremely important to the state, to Rhode Islanders, and it's the opportunity. It's the opportunity that we have as a state that the legislature has to set policy moving forward.
Attorney General Peter Kilmartin, thanks so much.
Thanks. Have a great day.